This is VOA News. I'm Diane Roberts. Police in Japan's central Nagano Prefecture report Thursday that three people, including two police officers, were killed and a fourth person injured in a knife and gun attack. VOA's Jeff Custer has more.
Japanese media say police responded to reports of a stabbing at about 4:25 p.m. local time in Nakano City, about 240 kilometers northwest of Tokyo. A witness told Japanese broadcaster NHK he saw a woman fleeing a man dressed in camouflage clothing. He said the woman fell and the man stabbed her. When they arrived at the scene, police said the assailant opened fire, striking two officers. The woman and both officers later died from their injuries at a local hospital. Witnesses said the suspect, who was also wearing a cap and sunglasses, fled the scene and holed up at a nearby building. Investigators said a fourth person was injured, but their condition is unknown. Residents have been advised not to leave their homes for non-urgent reasons. Jeff Custer, VOA News, Washington.
Japan said it had scrambled fighter jets after detecting a Russian intelligence-gathering plane off its coastline, while Moscow announced China's special envoy would discuss Ukraine with Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Friday. This as the head of Russia's Wagner mercenary group said on Thursday his troops had started transferring their positions in the flashpoint eastern Ukraine city of Bakhmut to the Russian military. Ukraine denies that Bakhmut has fallen to Russia, insisting it still controlled a micro-district of the ruined city and was still advancing on flanks. The South Korean and U.S. militaries held on Thursday the first of the Allies' five rounds of firing exercises until mid-June. The massive joint live fire exercise played out near the border with North Korea, despite the North's warning that it won't tolerate what it calls a hostile invasion rehearsal on its doorstep. Thursday's drills mark 70 years since the establishment of the military alliance between Seoul and Washington. This is VOA News. The founder of the U.S.-based extremist group Oath Keepers will be sentenced Thursday for his role in January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Prosecutors are seeking a 25-year prison sentence for Stuart Rhodes, who was convicted of seditious conspiracy for spearheading a plot to keep former President Donald Trump in power despite his loss in the 2020 election. Rhodes will be the first January 6th defendant convicted of seditious conspiracy to receive his punishment, which will set the standard for a slew of sentences pending for other extremists. U.S. President Joe Biden reportedly will name a history-making general to be the nation's next top military officer Thursday. An official says the president will name C.Q. Brown Jr. as the next Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman. If the career F-16 pilot is confirmed, it would mark the first time both the Pentagon's top civilian and uniformed positions are held by African Americans. Lloyd Austin is the first black defense secretary. Brown already made history as the first black man to be the Air Force's top officer, and he'd be the second black chairman after Colin Powell 30 years ago. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports General Brown has a unique story behind his call sign as an Air Force fighter pilot.
In 1991, Brown had to eject from his burning F-16 high above the alligator-infested Florida Everglades. He told the Aspen Security Forum last year as he floated in his parachute, a thought was, hope there's nothing down there. He landed in the muck, which led to the man tapped to be the nation's top military officer earning his call sign, Swamp Thing.
That was AP's Sagar Magani. Two opposing visions for Turkey's future are on the ballot when voters return to the polls Sunday for a runoff presidential election. The country will decide between an increasingly authoritarian incumbent and a challenger who has pledged to restore democracy. But as Kadir Has University professor Serhat Güvenç explains, he couldn't get people out to vote.
The main problem was this inability to mobilize those people who refused to go to the ballot boxes. We're talking about 8 million people. And about half were already alienated. You know, they just refused to make a choice between Erdogan and Kılıçdaroğlu.
Speaking of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who is well positioned to win after failing just short of victory in the first round of balloting May 14th, and Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the leader of Turkey's pro-secular main opposition party and a six-party alliance. I'm Diane Roberts, VOA News.